Okay, members, welcome back. We're on third reading amendment number 28 to House Bill 1. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment 28 to House Bill 1. Ask for your, well, any consideration at this hour. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had an ongoing discussion in my previous 4 years here about how we budget. And as you know, we budget on anticipated revenues. We budget on forecasts. And 2 years ago when we had this discussion, we were a lot closer to having a biennial's worth of budget in the bank. And now we are a little further back from that. But we do have a single year's worth of money between the two accounts, the LSRA and the budget reserve account. So this budget amendment just basically says, for the first year, the governor is going to budget on based on cash on hand. And then for the second part of the biennium, it'll be based on the forecast, which the CREG gives us. Now you'll see a note B here, subsection B, which basically is dealing with that separation of powers, saying that give us this, but we understand that, you know, you have authorities as an executive in the state, and so you can have an alternative state budget or exception budget requests that go outside of this A. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a pretty straightforward. We've got the cash to deal with it 1 year at a time. You'll hear the discussion, or maybe there won't be any discussion, that, oh, we got to have two to make this work. But it can work at this level. And what my view of it is it takes the onus off of being so accurate with our estimation. This past year is the prime example. Our estimation was not as accurate as we'd hoped, and therefore we're in the circumstance we are now. The executive went through the circumstance he had. If we didn't have that, we would be making hard choices the first year, and then you'd be building it as you go. And every year, as you look forward, you would know exactly what you have and where you were. So that's the intent of the amendment. And if I recall correctly from a couple years ago, it was called lots of glowing things, except not enough money and not ready yet. Well, I don't think we're going to get ready unless we start doing it. So I just ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Chairman Mann.
Thank you. I got a question on this. How can we as voters know if this is a good idea if we don't know how much the LSRA is going to have on June 30, 2017? And further, you know, what if the LSRA plus the reserve account totals far more than we need? To me, it could either be far more than we need or far less than we need, but it looks to me like we're using something that's arbitrary to attempt to control our zest for spending or something.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I think what's, the good chairman of revenue used the word arbitrary. I think that's what we've got now, where we're estimating revenues. We don't know what we've got. At least we'll have a solid figure by the end of June 30th or whatever it is. And so I think this is a good move. Actually knowing what we have, budgeting with cash that we have on hand. And it's a start on and in favor of the amendment.
Representative Edwards.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. My luck with bills today, I was thinking maybe I should be against this so you'd vote for it. But on and in favor of the bill, or the amendment, rather, I think it's the way we ought to be appropriating our money, so we know exactly what it is we have to spend. We don't have to spend it all. We can always use some for the next year to save it. On and for Amendment 28. Thank you.
Representative Gray, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Temp. This is really a wonderful amendment. It gets us in the practice of cash-based budgeting, which is where we need to move. This is probably our last shot to do this with where the LSRA is going. And I just urge the body here to take this opportunity and let's give us a try. Cash-based budgeting, this is the way we need to start doing this. And this is a wonderful amendment. Thank you.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem, on and against the amendment. I think we've seen that for a variety of reasons, we are going to need an LSRA to buoy ourselves down during these hard times. And while I agree in principle with it, a couple of years ago, I voted for it. But I think that time has come and gone, and I can't support it now.
Speaker Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro tem, on and against. I think it just kind of how this works. I mean, first of all, every government in the world operates on forecast revenue. I don't think there's any government in the world that cash budgets. So we talked about this a couple of years ago when we were getting close to having enough cash. And we talked about the accuracy of the Craig forecast, which over its history has been very accurate. In fact, most times very conservative, has underestimated revenue and most years. But I think, you know, our cash is not a certain thing either. And if you go to the Treasurer's report today, there's $200 million in unrealized losses and these funds that would be used to budget for. So I think, there's a lot more to this story. And I think, what we do, I think, is very sound. It's been proven for Wyoming for years and years. And I don't think anybody, in fact, nobody forecasts that the massive surpluses in coal at power plants through the Midwest and through the southern United States would eventually be burned off in one 3-month cycle where coal shipments would virtually stop. Nobody forecast that. I mean, nobody saw the drop of oil. Everybody said, hey, it's going to stay right here at 70, 65. Nobody said it would go down into the teens. And then, of course, with natural gas, horizontal drilling and fracking has worked wonders in the Jonah anticline, but it's also working wonders everywhere else. In fact, it works better everywhere else. And so there's a lot of things out there, and I think we have really a group of Wyoming experts that do a great job estimating our revenue, and I see no need to take our cash, and it's really about timing of all this. Cash is coming in during these fiscal years. It's not like we borrow it or wait to the end of the time or all those things. So I'd urge caution, and actually I'd urge you to vote against it. Thank you.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the bill, the amount of money this is, basically, for one fiscal year of cash. So this is our LSRA is $1.5 million. So we would spend it all on the concept that it will be refilled in 19 and 20 for those amounts. And if there is some type of problem, so if we don't have those cash inflows that we expect, where does that put us? This is just not the time to take and basically empty our LSRA with – And I remember these arguments 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago. Anyway, now's not the time.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Oh. Representative Halverson, your first time?
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I would say that now is precisely the time. Please vote aye on this amendment. This has been an idea that the good representative has had for a number of years. I'm glad to see it coming up again. I fully support this idea at this time, and I urge your aye vote.
Anyone else for the first time? Second time before the sponsor, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Speaking in support of the amendment, look, in the year we cash budget, we're going to have that unrealized revenue coming in as a bridge, a new LSRA, after we cash budget. But that year when we cash budget, we're going to get into the practice of doing that. And when other individuals say every government does it this way, well, if you look in the long term, every government is becoming insolvent because you don't have the good practices, good incentives when you're budgeting this way. And so to have this for 1 year gets us in that mindset. We'll replenish an LSRA, or we can call it a different fund, from the revenues that will be realized from the year that we cash budget that we're not using for. We're going to be using LSRA that year. So please support this amendment. This is probably our last shot to be able to do this. Thank you.
Any other members for their second time before the sponsor? Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And so let's just do a couple of things. Other governments may not do it, but often in Wyoming, we like to be ahead of the pack. We heard agreement in principle. More to the story. So the more to the story is actually look at the amendment. This is just directing the governor to recommend the appropriations based on these two amounts. This is not saying we're tied to these two amounts. In fact, if you look at the amendment and you go to B, obviously he can have an alternative state budget, and exception, which means above those dollars. So ladies and gentlemen, this isn't saying what we're going to spend or not going to spend or tying it to us. It's just giving us a baseline to start to as the cap for the budgeting process. And if you go outside that, you got to let us know. That's what we should be doing anyway. So I'd ask you your favorable consideration as this is just a check. And take a look at that June 30th, 2017 date. I think the budget that's due from our chief executive isn't until December of this year. There's plenty of time. We know what the money's in the account, and we're still relying on the forecast for the second part of the biennium. So this is very doable, and this is setting a guideline, setting a bar. It's not limiting this body, the appropriators, from going outside of that. It's giving some direction. Stay within these bounds. I'd ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. We are voting on third reading amendment number 28. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Chairs in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Amendment fails 34 to 24. We are now on third reading amendment number 29. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 29 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, what this does is appropriates $45,000 out of the Penitentiary Permanent Land Fund to do a peer review of the structural engineering reconnaissance study that was done last year. It's a check and a balance on that task force report that was done to make sure that we have an idea they got the right answer. We've discussed on the floor before of, you know, what's the right number, what do we actually do, and no one has decided what we do yet. This appropriates the money to have a peer review done of those reports, of all of that reconnaissance study, of all of the geotechnical engineering that was done, and a report back to the Appropriations Committee prior to their midsummer meeting so that we can move forward. It goes back, whatever's not spent goes back into the Penitentiary Permanent Land Fund, and there's no general fund appropriation. And with that, I would ask for your aye vote.
Anyone else for the first time? Chairman Zwanger.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I would ask for your no vote. As many of you know, I serve on the State Building Commission as a representative of this body, and this is not a new issue for us. Back in late 2014, early 2015, we knew there was an issue. We had a review. We had a study. And then 6 months later after that study, we didn't like it, so we had another study. And then about 6 months after that, we had a third study. And finally, about a year and 4 months ago, we had a fourth study to review the first three. Right after we did that, this body then put in a penitentiary task force, which spent a year, I guess, restudying the four studies we'd already had. And now we're coming back for, I guess in my mind, is a sixth study. And I know this one's a little more extensive than probably the last one and probably, you know, the first three we did 2.5 years ago. And if the body feels that we should study it for another $45,000, I guess that's great. But I did want to know that we've spent over two and a half years now, study after study after study, and maybe the further this penitentiary goes down and the more problems it has, we can study those, and eventually we'll make a solution. And if this study helps the body make that determination, I guess vote for it. But if you don't think we need one more study, I'd ask you to vote against it.
Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess my question is on line 11. It says state penal facilities. And I guess I need a little more explanation. I thought we were talking about the primary facility that's along the southern route across our state that handles those folks. But this says facilities. So maybe there's more to this study than I guess I understood. So a little more explanation of that component of facilities. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Okay, moving to our second time before the sponsor, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To answer that last question, line 10 says submitted to the 2016 Task Force on State Penal Facilities. That was the name of the task force. That's why it is in here. That was the official name. Whether you dislike the plural or not, that was the name of the task force, and that's all that's there. We're not studying other facilities. As for the multiple studies, I know a lot of you have told me you read the reports that came out. I have two volumes of engineering studies in there and in my office, and I can just tell you it is to determine whether we think we got the right answer or not. Considering all the various options we were given and the various prices, and I've heard different ones even since the task force about, was another review, just a peer review. If you ever publish a paper in your profession, they are generally peer reviewed. Somebody looks at it and says, yeah, you got it right, or no, you have some errors. That's all this does. So with that, I'd ask for your aye vote and call for the question.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 29. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 29 has failed.
Division.
Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. More than 12. We are now on third reading amendment number 30. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move House Bill third reading number 30 and ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, if you look at this, what this does is it takes $10 million from the LSRA and makes it available strictly for emergency needs on the construction and issues that may develop in the facilities in Rawlins, while it's just a protection, and to put it out there just in case the what everyone has been talking about with regards to this, the prison happens. And so then we've been bouncing around a bunch of numbers through the course of the last week or so. So in looking at all those numbers, so
We heard the, I believe it was $19.5 million for one amendment. Those dollars were basically to take everyone out of the penitentiary and move them over for 1 year and house them. Well, if you read, if you've looked at the study or synopsis of the study or talked with the folks on the select committee that looked at it last year, that is just likely not going to happen. There are certain portions of the facility where the ground's heaving, certain portions where it's settling, but there are other portions of the facility that are fine. And there's a belief that they can go in and shore them up and take care of it. But if there is some type of catastrophic failure, we want to go in and do what we have to do to fix it. So this essentially tries to address that catastrophic concern that we've seen from the various from bodies and trying to put a number on it, but not make the number too high, not make the number too low. And frankly, I think a lot of the numbers have been too high. This may be too high. Right now, we've already appropriated $7.5 million, of which, from last year, of which $4.5 is currently being bid and under, and would go to construction to do some of the primary work that they found should be midsummer or late fall before that work is actually going to begin. This, just in case there's a catastrophic failure, this will get us through the next into the next budget session for what we have to do. It's unlikely to need it, but it ties up the funds and from the LSRA just to guarantee it. So that's the purpose for the bill. So for your favorable consideration.
Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, on and for this amendment. Having been on that committee that studied this in length and helped author that report, these funds are well within the amount of money that we looked at to fix things of an immediate, and I mean immediately, like should have been done last month and or never should have been allowed to happen. So I would recommend that you vote aye on this because it's not if it's happening now and if we don't patch this thing up, it could fall down while we're standing here talking.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, just based on the premise that we do have a task force out there that's studying this situation, the executive branch does have emergency funds for these type of emergencies that can happen. And if all of those were exhausted, I'd want to see that language in this amendment. If the executive's funds were exhausted at that point where we needed to dip into the LISRA. So on and against.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. I was distracted for a moment. Again, on and for the amendment, to answer one thing that came up, the task force is no longer studying this. The task force has gone away. It sunsetted on December 31st of last year. There is no task force. Based on the vote on the previous amendment to do a peer review of the report, I can only connect the dots and say that you agree with the peer review or the report that was done. And I'll tell you, the engineers told us there is a statistical chance of catastrophic failure in some of it. Now it's not great, but can you take any statistical chance that the exterior walls to the state penitentiary collapse or that you lose control over your security systems? I don't think so. So this is to put money there to immediately make available those funds should they become necessary to do those repairs. This is not to move inmates. It's to do those immediate repairs. So on and for the amendment.
Anyone else? First time. Second time. Second time, sponsor, Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you. And just to address the one question that was brought up by the guy that hits the top of the ceiling every time he walks around, if you go down to line 9, what he talked about is exactly what this bill is trying to do, because it says no other sources of funds are – the governor has to find that there are no other sources of funds, so he doesn't have the emergency funds available either through the Department of Corrections or through construction management. So This is supposed to be the catch-all behind the catch-all. It's not supposed to be funds up there where there are other funds available to take care of the problem. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 30. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 30 has passed. It will require a roll call vote. Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Biteman.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Bovey.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Aye. Bird.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
No. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
Aye.
Aye. Crank.
Aye.
Aye. Dayton. No. Edwards.
No.
No. Eklund. Eklund. Air. Aye. Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Aye. Furphy.
No.
No. Grew.
No.
Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
Aye.
Aye. Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
No. Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
No. Jennings.
No.
No. Kinner.
No.
No. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
No. Lone.
No.
No. Laux.
No.
No. McGuire.
Aye.
Aye. Madden.
Aye.
Aye. McKim.
No.
No. Miller.
No.
No. Nicholas.
Aye.
Aye. Northrup.
Aye.
Aye. Obermuller.
Aye.
Aye. Olson.
Aye.
Aye. Paxton.
Aye.
Aye. Pelkey.
No.
No. Pieperinen.
No.
No. Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Eklund. Excused. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Walters, no to aye. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 34 aye, 25 no, 1 excused.
Having received an affirmative vote of the members present, third reading amendment number 30 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 31. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment 31 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration, body. So what this does, it's structured very similar to the last amendment. I will say, though, that this was actually an exception request by the governor. Excuse me, the chief executive. Chief executive, in his exception request budget, asked for about $20.2 million, and this is for Title 25 holds. We talked a whole lot, or debated a whole lot, especially when we were talking about that department that deals with health. And we added money for a whole lot of things, or tried to add money for a whole lot of things. We talked about those with developmental disabilities and old people and those with babies and all of those things. I will submit to you that if we do not have this kind of contingency that is being proposed right now, then what's going to happen is that department that deals with health is going to cannibalize itself to find these cuts. Now, the recommended number was 20.2. That was what was requested. There was a revamped number, and it's kind of window now. It's gone down, and they're saying for these Title 25 holds that we'll need an estimated between 8 and 15 million. That's the latest and greatest number, between 8 and 15 million. So what this amendment does is it takes 10 million, and it says, you can read it for yourself. Starting there in line 6, there is appropriated $10 million from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve Account to the State Auditor to be expended only upon determination by the Governor that no other sources of funds are available for emergency funding needs that may arise from emergency detention and involuntary commitment related to obligations under Title 25, Chapter 10 of the Wyoming Statutes. The governor shall provide a full accounting of the expenditure and proposed expenditure of these funds to the Joint Appropriations Committee within 30 days of an affirmative determination by the governor under this section. These funds shall not be transferred or expended for any other purpose. And any unobligated funds remaining from this appropriation on June 30th, 2018, shall revert to the Legislative Stabilization Reserve Account as provided by Wyoming Statute 94207. Basically, what this is saying is this is the emergency plan. If there are no other funds available, and if those Title 25 numbers hold true, and we are at an estimated $8 to $15 million, instead of having that department that deals with health try to make cuts within itself and cannibalize itself, and again, we're talking about those. Remember those boots on the ground, those services that we give for addicts and whatnot that we put out there for mental health services. Talked about nurses going and seeing babies. We talked about the developmental disabled people. We talked about all sorts of these different things that the department that deals with health covers. Those are the type of things that are going to be cut. And if we do not pass something like this, then be assured that we wasted a whole lot of time on the floor debating those things over nothing, because those programs are going to go away, because the director is going to have to cut from somewhere within that department. And so, again, this is the emergency contingency. This is not saying that those funds are going to be used unless it goes above and beyond what's expected, and that's that $8 to $15 million. So it doesn't give the whole 20.2, and it doesn't even go as far as the $15 million. But it does say we're going to have an emergency contingency if we need it, only if we need it, of $10 million. And with that, I would stand for any questions.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, and you'll see that the next one coming up reduces this number in half. And here's what there's several different issues with this. First of all, The number right now, speaking with a good director yesterday, is between 10 and 12. It's no longer between 9 and 15. It's really between 10 and 12 with current expenditures. But it's a lot more complicated than that. And part of the problem is that when we put money into a pot and we say this is what you're going to get, then some of the folks around the state who are expending the funds in that pot know how much money is in the pot. And so when you say, okay, we're going to make this available, then lo and behold, that's all of a sudden how much money there is to spend and how much money that they expend. I mean, it's just a law of nature. In addition to that, so what we did when we did the Title 25 subcommittee, which I was a member on, and then we created the gatekeeper component, and we've done a couple other things in order, through the Department of Health, in order to drive this cost down. Because it's being driven by basically three providers around the state, this huge number that's escalating. But the two of those providers are actually now going the opposite direction. And we are just beginning to implement the gatekeeper concept. And it's right now, really, it's not really mandatory. They're trying to do it in a cooperative fashion. But at the end of the day, and then the next component is, we're funding this out through the end of 2018 biennial budget cycle. So if there is some type of a severe problem, next January we'll be able to fix it, because we'll have 6 months to fix it. So the concept of the next amendment is we've got three that we've already passed with the tobacco tax. We're going to add five more. That's eight. And we're at a 9 to 12 number, but we want to drive that number – no, that – drive that $12 million lower. We don't want to say, okay, you've got the funds available and it's out there. We can always come back in January of next year. We want to insist that these providers correct their expenditures and slow down these Title 25 costs that are coming from basically three counties and three facilities. And so we have to hold their feet to the fire. And the only way we're going to do that is to show our resolve that says that we're not going to just put money in the pie for every emergency that comes up. So I just think that that's a better approach than this one. And so I'm on and against the amendment and for the next one that's coming up.
Anyone else? Representative Powerson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in strong support of this amendment. We understand from testimony that the number of Title 25 admissions is peaking, or has peaked, or maybe slightly on the downward side. We think we have seen the worst of it. This amendment covers the worst of it. We're pretty confident that if we take care of this expenditure this year with this money, we probably will not be facing the same crisis next year. But my good friend is correct. If we don't do something along these lines, the money is going to come from somewhere else. It's going to come from all those programs that we worked so hard to restore funding to, and all of our work for the boots on the ground, et cetera, will have been in vain. Please support this amendment. I urge your aye vote.
Any other members for your first time? Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, and if you like the next amendment, then you ought to like this one twice as much. And folks, you know, I've been listening to this issue for 4 years, and it's not a static situation. There's no question the good chairman of appropriations, we're working. We're working in all different ways. But the one thing that we can do is we can have a backstop for the agency. It's the same backstop we just adopted for that penal institution to the west of us. We're not asking anything different with this. We're asking for the backstop to deal with the real issue that is out there. And this is taking care of our folks in our communities, danger to self or others. It's a simple concept. If you like the one we did on the penal institution, you like this. And if you like the next one, you like this one twice as much. I'd ask you to vote for it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And we agree that that there needs to be a backstop there. I think at the end of the day, it just depends on how much that backstop should be. And your Appropriations Committee is, we've put the $3 million there on the tobacco tax, the next amendment puts $5 million in there that's for sure, so that's $5 million for sure and a potential of another three on top of that. And again, as the good chairman pointed out, that really does put pressure on to keep those costs down for Title 25 placement, so I'd encourage you to vote this amendment down.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll make this brief. I'm on and for this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Anyone else for their first time? Second time. Second time before the sponsor. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd say this is not a new issue that this body has had to deal with. Even if you're brand new here, this has been an ongoing issue. The chief executive has not only this year but in years past has put some kind of exception request, which his body has denied. And consequently, we saw a lot of the cuts that we saw this year in particular to that department that I've been talking about as a result of this. And really, it's a policy decision that we get to determine right here, right now. If we say that we do not want to have any kind of contingency whatsoever, or if we don't fund a contingency large enough, then what we're going to do is we're going to see continued cuts to services. That's what we're going to see. We're going to see those services being cut. Again, we've been at this for at least 2 years or maybe longer, saying that we are not going to give any kind of exemption or anything like that. We're not going to give some kind of contingency, and we want to drive down those costs. In other words, we want to see the department find the cuts within itself. I can assure you that we've exhausted those cuts within that department, and we're going to have some serious cuts, some painful cuts, if we do not do something. And I'll also say this, I don't think it's going to drive down the costs. That's been the philosophy of at least the last 2 or 3 years. And I don't think that's really driven down the costs. We've done a lot of other things to help the costs, like the gatekeeper program, et cetera. But just saying, well, we think that, you know, we're going to set it at 8 so we can drive down the cost, I don't think that's going to happen. Mentally ill people, they're not going to care what we set, you know, a bar at. If they need help, they need help. So I would ask you to urge you to vote aye on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. We are voting on third reading, amendment number 31. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Chair's in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. That amendment has failed. 23-4, 35 against. Next. Amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 32. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And ladies and gentlemen, we're getting awful close to Miller time, meaning our good majority floor leader down there. So I would move third reading amendment number 32 and ask for your favorable consideration, and I don't have any further debate. Call for the question.
Anyone for their first time, Representative Clem.
All right, members, I'm not going to belabor this. I'd urge you to vote aye on this. If we don't vote aye on this, again, you know what the consequences will be, so I'd urge your aye vote.
Anyone else? First time? Second time? Question being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 32, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
That amendment will require a roll call vote. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards. Edwards. Eklund. Edwards, no. No. Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Garou.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
No.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pipirinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
Aye.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed, 54 aye, 6 no.
Having received the affirmative vote of members present, third reading amendment number 3 Third reading amendment number 32 has been adopted. We're now on third reading amendment number 33. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Third reading amendment, I forgot. I move that third reading amendment number 30 to HB 1.
33.
To be adopted. In this, it takes from the 100 series of all the state government positions. That's why you only saw the one on there before. This one does all of the state, except for you see on line D where it pulls out the one over the hill and the district community and school districts in the judicial branch. In this one, all others are cut 2% and 2% of their salary reductions is what this is. Like I said on the last ones, I would have liked to have taken out of each one of them's individual ones so they would understand that they need to participate in cutting the budget. Seems like the governmental entities, the only thing they can think of is to raise taxes because they don't have enough to maintain where they're at and they want to go higher. And I think it's time that they learned the part cut. And since I've been down here, in fact, before I was down here, I heard some of the compatriots saying that they had cut a whole bunch of positions. I don't remember how many it was offhand, but only in government does unfilled positions count as actual cuts to employees. In the real world out there where I work, when they cut employees, somebody's going out the door. It isn't an empty position. They just go away. In doing this, I want you to think about the story about the chicken and the pig. I'm sure all of you have heard that story about the chicken and the pig. It's a fable about the pig and the chicken are walking down the road. The chicken says, "Hey, pig, I was thinking that we should open a restaurant." The pig replies, maybe that would we call it. And the chicken responds, "How about ham and eggs?" The pig thinks for a moment and says, "No, thanks. I'd be committed, but you're only involved." I got me a note from one of my, maybe my constituents up in for my county, and it tells me, "Vote no on Amendment 33 to the budget bill. Do not want a pay decrease." There are several of them in our county that have lost jobs, and this one's only worrying about a pay decrease. On and for Amendment 33.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and against this amendment. First of all, I want to talk a bit about the vacancies. I know some of the vacancies we cut were fairly fresh vacancies, and so there have been people in many of those vacancies very recently. And so as we cut even more vacancies going forward with our reductions with the 75 employees, we're going to be asking our employees in the state of Wyoming to do more and more. So in a time when we ask them to do more and more, I do not think it is the time to have a pay cut. And also, you know, we've held this budget, I think, fairly well, and we're going to get to that $100 million structural deficit, and I hate to see this particular amendment go forward, so I stand on and against it.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, am against this amendment. This is a 4% reduction in 1 year because it's for the second half of this biennium. These agencies have taken significant cuts. They've moved in the moved in the right direction of helping us correct the structural deficit. There will be more opportunity to continue to work on this in the next biennium, but we just don't need to push all these folks right off the cliff at this time. As I said, we've worked on this. We're moving that way slowly but adequately, and so I don't think we need to take this approach at this time. Please vote no.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we'll start this out nice and slow. So we've reduced state positions by 291 positions since 2007. That's a 4% reduction in the workforce alone, just in the workforce. So we have lower staff levels now than when our chief executive took office 7 years ago or 6 years ago now. We have less money flowing out of the account in the executive branch than we did 6 years ago. And now we're calling for another 2% reduction while we're asking agencies to do more. Just doesn't compute to me. I don't quite understand it. I've provided everybody, there's a handout in your box. If you take a look, it's a two-sided piece of paper. One of it has the state with a couple counties on it. And if you'll notice that every single county has state employees in it. So no matter how you do this, you're going to be affecting somebody in one of the counties that you live in. You're going to be affecting their take-home pay. You're going to be taking care of and reducing the amount of expendable income they have to spend in their local economies. This is going to affect everybody. If you look on the back side of that, you'll see that this is a turnover rate. This turnover rate is kind of an interesting piece of information here to have. What this turnover rate shows you is since about 2007, 2008, our turnover rate has gradually increased. And that's about the time that we started seeing reductions and asking the state employees to start contributing more out of their paycheck for retirement. Health insurance costs go up, everything about that. We have people that are taking less money home now than what they were 10 years ago. And they're in the same job. And now we want to reduce that by another 2%. I get it. I get it that we're in a tough time, but the budget came out of the JAC balanced. There's no call for this. There's no need to show what this is going to do. I don't see anywhere in here that says where this money's going to go to. I see absolutely nowhere that this is going to be a savings for this particular reason. This is just a cutting to cut. I don't see the benefit in this. One of the biggest things that I think is a big call out here is I did a lot of research when I saw this amendment come through on our side. State employees had a 92% increase in health insurance premiums since 2007. 92%. And it doesn't matter where you look, if that's either an individual or a family, they have almost completely doubled in 10 years. So we haven't given raises out of these bodies in quite a few years either. And the raises that we did give were offset by contribution increases as well. So they were ultimately just a wash, which again raises back to the point that most people that are in the state right now, if they've been there for a while, are taking home less money now than they were in 2010. So I think the biggest thing that you have to ask yourself is this really needed? Do we really need to go after a 2% pay decrease? I don't see any other people in here. We're looking at just generally funded employees. This isn't even going to affect the largest employers of the state agencies. You're not talking about the transportation area. You're not talking about the family areas. You're not talking about these agencies that receive federal dollars. You're disproportionately affecting those that go against general funding here. And to me, I don't see that as a fair hit. So I'm on and against this amendment, and I encourage your no vote. Thank you.
Representative Palverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in strong support of this amendment. To the previous speaker, I would remind him that although their health insurance premiums may have gone up, state law still requires that the state pay 85% of their premiums. When I tell people in the private sector in my district what an average state employee health care deductible is, they think I'm talking per month when I'm actually talking per year. So I brought an amendment last year to increase the employees' participation in their health, dental, enhanced dental, life insurance premiums, and that was shot down pretty roundly. I think that a salary reduction in light of what our counterparts in the private sector are going through is more than reasonable. On and in support of the amendment.
Representative Clausen.
I see something different in this chart. The top five counties that are the largest contributors to the tax base in the state of Wyoming also have the least amount of state employees, if you look closely. On and for the amendment.
Representative Biteman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. I make half of what I made in 2007. I work in the private sector. Somebody needs to speak for the private sector here. I'm on my third pay cut to keep my job. A lot of my friends didn't even get that choice. They got laid off. This is real. And to say that it's not fair, yeah, it's not fair. I do a lot more with less. I do probably five people's job now with less money. And my health insurance has skyrocketed. So on in favor of the amendment.
Representative Pownell.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'll be brief. The most important thing we have in the state is our employees. And I may not agree with the fact that some of the pay that some of the individuals get, but the bulk of them don't get that much. So I would urge you to vote this amendment down. Thank you.
Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, as a state employee as well, I would rather take a 2% cut in my pay than be fired or lose my job. So with that said, I would also ask for a roll call vote when we do this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment. And I would just remind us that we've been asking for services to be provided to our vulnerable populations over the last few days. And the areas where there are the greatest vacancies in the agencies that takes care of prisoners, the institutions that take care of people with disabilities, people with mental illness, these are areas where we have a lot of shortages. And if we're going to cut the pay of people who are already doing the work of more people, then I think you're going to be wondering what happened to the services that you just spent a lot of time saying that you wanted to be provided to the vulnerable population. So I think this is a dangerous amendment, and vote against it.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, am on and against this amendment. Not to be too repetitious, but we're the ones who are responsible for the wages and the terms and conditions of work of our state workers. We're the ones who are responsible for that. And those workers have not received a raise in years, and that their real wages have gone down because this body has added to their monthly costs in terms of health insurance and retirement. And we did that for good reasons. But this amendment goes way too far in terms of cutting real wages again. And I also want to remind this body that we had the opportunity with Section 320 to get rid of it, but we didn't. And so with this budget, we are now having a hard freeze on any new workers and requiring the governor to cut 75 positions in the next biennial budget. So we are going to be asking state workers to be doing far more in the next, in this biennium, as well as into the next biennium. So again, on and against this amendment.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, first of all, to make sure everyone understands what this does, for one biennium, so of 2018, it cuts $10.2 million out of those general fund dollar budgets for those agencies that are funded through general funds. And then in the 1920, it doesn't double that. It's still 10.2, but it'd be 5.1 and 5.1. So the net effect would be for the next biennium for 2019 and 20 would be also a $10.2 million cut. So those are just the numbers. So we, in the Joint Appropriations Committee, we discussed something similar to this on like two or three different approaches and whether or not this was the right way to do it. And the reason we didn't do it and the reason we went with Section 320 is because it just granted, number one, Section 320 cut more dollars. We were able to do it through attrition. We were able to do it through freezes and do it through mechanisms that were creative thinking through the agencies and through the chief executive instead of doing a slash across the top of automatic pay reductions of the 100 series. And one of the reasons we did that is, if you think about it, that there are lots of smaller agencies. There are lots of entities that where are they going to sustain these cuts? And frankly, that they will have to have significant payroll cuts in some of those one or two or three positions of the smaller agencies. And it's just kind of an across-the-board chop. And he said, well, we can be more creative that way, and we can actually cut more and do more by being more creative, and thus Section 320. So we kind of debated this, and we decided against it, but it was really kind of an either-or concept. And so right now, if we pass the budget the way we got it, we're roughly at a $300 million cut in 1920. So this will turn it into combined step-up, almost $320 million. And you're just going, well, is it absolutely necessary that we do that in order to eliminate the structural deficit? And our answer was, if we do this right, we're there already. So we didn't have to do this extra $10.2 million, and it was just a better way to do it. It was so that was our rationale in the JAC. So voted up or down. I'm against the amendment because I think we've kind of done our duty on it. But obviously that's up to the floor and up to our votes.
Any other members for their first time? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's been hard for me. Being on this committee is not the easiest thing for a person with my party affiliation, and I have had to do some things that I was not always convinced were in line with my core beliefs, but I also believe that we need to do things to make sure that we could move forward in the future, having done cuts to the budget that will not necessitate future cuts. I believe this particular amendment takes us farther than we need to go, and certainly farther than I am willing to go on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Any other member first time moving to second time before the sponsor? Any other member of the second time before the sponsor? Representative Edwards, the sponsor.
Mr. Chairman, or Mr. Speaker, I don't know if you heard me or not, but I second the call for the ayes and the nays.
There was a call by Representative Lone for a roll call vote. If this amendment is successful, there would be a roll call vote because it was a reduction in funds. Any increase or reduction in funds would require a roll call vote. I was planning on seconding Representative Lone, so we're going to roll call vote this either way. So we've got you. Mr. Sponsor, go ahead and finish it up. Thank you.
Thank you. When I was talking to the people that helped me write this up, they told me that I couldn't make the personal cuts to everybody's salary. All I could do is do the 100 series. They would take it out of the payroll for each agency. It would be up to the directors of those agencies whether they wanted to cut a position, whether they wanted to make a 1%, 2%, 4%, and it would be up to the employee on how they would make the cuts on their wages if they choose to do that. Or they could take some of those empty positions that they have and cut them if they so choose. So it would be entirely up to the director of the agency how they would handle this. And I would say that those that are in state government haven't got to feel any of the pain. They might have got not been able to get their pay raises that they would have liked to had, but those people that are in the private sector would have liked to had pay raises. They'd have liked to have been able to keep their jobs. They'd have liked to not to have their pay cuts done. Some of the companies that have gone bankrupt because of this would have liked to have been able to keep it open so they could have kept those employees working for them. This is similar to the idea of the beet. We're going to try to squeeze the last drop of blood out of it. On and for Amendment 33. I hope that you will vote for it. Thank you.
49, Amendment 33. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
No.
Fightman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Bovey.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
No.
Ayer.
No.
Flitner.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Furphy.
No.
Garou.
No.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Haley.
No.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
No.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Obermuller.
No.
Olson.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Piperinen.
No.
Pawnell.
No.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Larson Dan, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 16 aye, 44 no.
Having failed to receive the majority vote of the members present, House Third Reading Amendment number 33 has failed. We are now on Third Reading Amendment number 37. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. With reminder to the body that we have a solar eclipse coming August 21st, 2017, and it's going to be a big deal, I would like to withdraw Amendment 37.
Amendment 37 has been withdrawn. We are now on Third Reading Amendment number 42, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Third Reading Amendment number 42 to House Bill 1. Two amendments in a row here that have to do with 900 series. I'm going to withdraw at the proper time the second one and focus here on the one, Amendment number 42. What this amendment does, there's a ton of room in 900 series for savings. This is the series for contractual services for operations. So think contracting out engineering work, architects, lawyers, when agencies contract out operating budgets. And there's a lot of room here. This is about $130 million of biennium.
And so this would be about a $3.6 million savings this year for this 2.5% reduction, 5% to 5% for the year. So there's a lot of room here. This is one of those things, is a 95% amendment that 95% of our constituents, I'm confident, would support. There'd really be no decline in services here. There's a lot of room here, and getting efficiencies in 900 series through a across-the-board efficiency is the way to go. And you got huge savings here, $3.6 million. Let's finish strong here on this budget and vote aye on Amendment 42.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've got a question for the bringer of the amendment. And I'm sorry, I'm just not tracking this the right way. So the 2.5%, I'll let him get his pen so he can answer questions. The 2.5% reduction is the overall biennial reduction out of the current budget, is what I understand. And so we have the reversions will revert on December 31st, 2017. Is that the full biennial amount is reverted at that point in time? I'm trying to get the timing down on this. I think I like the amendment, but I want to make sure everything tracks in place. So thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And along similar questioning, if this is a biennial amount, then that would result in 5% on contracts for this year and then moving forward. And a lot of those contracts are in place. It makes me a little nervous if we have contracts in place, then we have to go back and how do we deal with the reduction for that are existing. Moving forward, I can easily understand that. We have contracts in that department that oversees our environmental issues and some of the air quality stuff. We have contracts with air monitoring and in landfill groundwater stuff. We also have contracts with a lot of the software in each of the agencies, and those are done by bids and by contracts. So we also would want to point out that in the last session in 2016, we made a 5% cut to this, which equated to about $3.6 million. We made a 5% cut already in the 900 series. I think, now that I've talked to myself, because probably nobody's listening, I would encourage the body to vote against this.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor. And I just wanted to, the way I'm reading this in, speaking to what the last representative just stated, that if the possibility of going to 5%, I don't believe so. The way it reads is final general fund appropriation for contractual expenditures. So the final general fund appropriation, that's 2.5%. I think that is the way I'm reading that in.
Representative Halverson.
Sorry, Marty.
Did it to me again. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in support of this amendment, I think the speaker, two speakers before this, pointed out the problem with the contractual services at all levels of government, state, federal, local. There are 2.7 million federal government workers. There are 2.7 million federal government contractors. It is referred to as the shadow government. I don't see that this is anything but lesser scaled here in this great state, but I think it's time we had a hard look at this. I think it's time we put the 900 series under a microscope, and I think this is just a start. Aye on the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to phrase the question this way because I'm intrigued by the amendment, but I want to know how it works. So I heard the phrase that it would be $3.6 million in savings. Here's the question. On line 8, the phrase is the final general fund appropriation for contractual expenditures. And so the $3.6 million in savings, would that be $3.6 million over a biennium? The next question would be, if that is the case, then it wouldn't be $1.3 million a year. All 3.6 would have to come from the remaining year in the biennium. That's the question I have. I just want to know if that's the right tracking in my mind.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, on and against the amendment, one thing, you know, we try in appropriations to, for example, if there's a 900 series in a budget and it seems particularly high, we question that. I don't know, I can't name the number of times, but there were several times we questioned 900 series expenditures in given agencies and given divisions even. And usually there were really good reasons, it seemed to me like, why they were the way they were. And on top of the fact that we're already doing significant cuts. And so, once again, as the governor uses his flex authority to do some of these position cuts and one thing or another, we may end up having more cuts out of 900 series. But kind of a across-the-board sort of cut, I just can't support.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker, and it is an interesting amendment. I just have a question, because we've made all the agencies do these cuts already in this biennium, and we're 9 months in. I just want to make sure we don't have, and this is to each agency, not across the board. So if the bringer could just assure me that we don't have any agency that's already contracted out their 900 series for the biennium, I would think in some cases if we've already reduced 8 or 10% for most of these agencies, they've already kept some of these 900, and they may have already been in, you know, a year or two-year contract. And what happens if someone's in a contract and they don't have any more money? Does the state break an obligation? And that just kind of worries me if he has an answer for that.
Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In support of this amendment, thank you.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to remind the body, because some of you weren't here, in the 2016 budget that we are in right now, we did an across-the-board cut of 5% on the 900 series. After that, we went into individual agencies, and those that we felt could take more, we took more out of those. So we've already gone in and addressed 900s, and that went along with the penny plan from the last budget. Additionally, a reminder that some of the agencies we've talked about today and on Friday, most of their funds are 900s. They contract with a lot of the work they do. In fact, some of them don't even have a 100 series. They're all either 600 or 900. And this will greatly impact them. Some agencies that do permitting and that, if you attack their 900 series, in effect, when things turn around, and someday they will, they're going to be hurting to get contractors to do things for them like land quality, air quality, permitting, monitoring, and those things. So sometimes, you know, you have to watch what you do. You can really do something that looks good now, and in the future you've really hurt yourself, and then you've got to come back in and readjust. We're trying to get a budget we can go forward with. It balances. We just didn't pick numbers out of the air. We made a specific attempt to balance the budget, and that without making really ridiculous cuts in some places. So on and against the amendment, ask for your no vote.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, am on and against the amendment. And first, I have a question for the bringer, and that is, where did the 2.5% come from? That's a precise figure, and if we're dealing with that kind of figure, I want it to be meaningful. I was on your committee number 2 when we did that 5% cut to the 900 series. And no, in general, but then we had agencies come back in, and what we needed to do was add back money in to many of those agencies, not take out more. And there's an assumption in the bringer's argument that we need to begin to take a look at Section 900s. Know that your committee number two has taken long, hard looks. We have looked at every single contract in every single agency, and we question agencies about those contracts. Know that, as was said, many of those agencies, almost all of their expenditures are through those contracts. But also, we have contracts so that we don't grow government with more state employees, that instead we pinpoint what we need and we get a contract to get that work done. So on and against this amendment, we have done that work and we'll continue to do that work.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, we've spent a lot of time here today and even last week discussing the hard times the private sector has seen. And by making these sorts of random cuts in the 900 series does nothing more than simply hurt the private sector even more than they've already been hurt by market forces that are out there. So, I'm on and against this amendment.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, ladies and gentlemen, there's a couple problems with this. First of all, our pipeline authority is almost all 900, so it would be a direct cut to that entity. Also with the infrastructure folks, also to the 900 series with the Department of Environmental Quality. There's some real legal issues with this, because in order to do this, if you have existing contracts, then you're going to have to make those cuts on new contracts because you can't go in and break up an existing contract. So there are literally some real legal issues on how you effectuate this and how you get it done. Let's take the tourism, for example. Tourism, 70-80% of their budget, no more than that, are 900 series contracts. So this will be a 2%, 2.5% basically cut to tourism, because that's where they expend their funds. And so the concept is, it's a nice one, but in practicality, you can't effectuate it on a timely basis, and you're going to be hurting some of the agencies that this body has intentionally not cut. So, on and against.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, second time? Second time before? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think this discussion is worth having. At least one section in our budget has taken its 900 series from a historic zero to $15,000 and increased it sevenfold to $102,000. This needs to be looked at. This needs to be addressed. Please vote aye on the amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else? Any member for their second time? For the sponsor? To the sponsor, Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment is really the low-hanging fruit. The waiving of competitive bidding is really a concern in 900 series, and this amendment attempts to get some controls there. We heard about that this would hurt the private sector. Well, what is really going to hurt the private sector is the continued growth of government in our state and the fact that we're headed towards a tax increase if we don't get this under control, and we need to get this under control. So I'd ask you to vote for amendment number 42. This is really low-hanging fruit, and we need to get 900 series under control. Thank you.
Okay, we're voting on third reading amendment number 42. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 42 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 41. Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I respectfully withdraw third reading amendment number 41.
Third reading amendment number 41 has been withdrawn. We are now on what I have as the final amendment. Third reading amendment number 48, Chairman Zwanitzer.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move third reading amendment number 48 and ask you for your favorable introduction. And I would like to leave third reading on a positive note, and I think this is an amendment most all of us can get behind. I guess first, Mr. Speaker, originally there were 12 of you co-sponsors on this amendment. LSO told me not to jeopardize the amendment on maybe a rules violation. So for the other eight names that signed the amendment, I apologize.
but it's for the health of the amendment. So, I think you've all seen the amendment by now. First, let me explain the revenue source, and then I will explain the project list you see on the amendment. You did get a handout in your box from me. It says 3048 on it. And so, for those of you who are new and those of you who don't remember, on the general fund, we take 2.5%. We divide it between two accounts. You get 1.25% each to the LISRA and the SIPA. The money is based on our capital gains, so we either gain money or we lose money if we have capital losses. And so the historical perspective of this body is that we don't profile any of this money because we don't know each year if it'll be a gain or a loss. The money either appears or decreases on the end of the fiscal year on June 30th. So this year from the handout, you can see what we're estimating that account to be. And for those of you who were here last year, you'll remember the SIPA, the first account, the 1.25%, we've earmarked all of those funds, both for 2017 and for 2018. You'll see 2017's SIPA on the back of this handout. You'll remember that talk we had on the state penitentiary, how we had to start utilizing the SIPA for the state penitentiary in 2019 because all the 17 and 18 SIPA funds were accounted for. This is part of that. You'll see on the back some money goes to the Capitol, some of the UW Science Initiative. What I want to talk about is the other revenue stream, and this is the 1.25% that goes into the LISRA, or it will go into the LISRA unless this amendment passes because there's no other bills out there this year or other budget amendments which have dealt with this part of the fund. So you'll all hopefully remember in the chief executive state of the state address, he continued to ask why we would put money into our rainy day account when it's currently raining. And I personally can't go back to my constituents to explain how I cut $277 million in the supplemental budget, but I put money back into our rainy day fund. I'm not sure. Think about how each of you can do that. So what this amendment does is the proposal it presents in front of you, you'll look through the first $9 million that would otherwise go back into the rainy day fund. These go to important projects which were either highly debated on the floor or which had a haircut from your great committee number two. And you will see first on all of these appropriations that this isn't the same reflection of what you saw on a lot of the other amendments because, I mean, I do take our job seriously. We need to make cuts in a lot of these places. And so I didn't restore full funding because I want to respect what the good committee number two did. These are areas that they felt the cuts were needed, and I would submit to you that each of these agencies know that they are in the sights of our committee number two. But we do appropriate biennially, and to cut down some of these funds all in 1 year, in the second year of a biennium, it's painful. And I would argue that putting $9 million towards some of these worthwhile projects that we discussed can make a difference this year. The remaining amount above the $9 million, instead of going back into the rainy day fund, it would go into our education fund. So we can say instead of putting money back into the rainy day, that it is in fact raining and the biggest downpour is in education. It's one more step in putting, you know, the number on your amendment into our education fund where it's needed instead of increasing the rainy day fund when it's raining. I think you'll have other members tell you why the first $9 million is worthwhile in a lot of these projects, and we discussed them on the floor. There's two that we didn't talk about a lot. The first is Voc Rehab, you'll see. This is a program which helped out our coal country, our coal counties, when the layoffs were occurring. This is the agency that worked nights and weekends to go up there and work with these individuals who lost their jobs, the agency that retrains displaced workers. It's basically the program that keeps Wyomingites in Wyoming. When they don't have a job, they can retrain for other professions, so we don't have the same exodus we did in the last budget cycle. They operate on a 20% state, 80% federal match, so it's an amazing bang for your buck. And I'd be happy to let other people in here talk about the other projects on this list that are worthwhile, and hopefully we can discuss why they're more worthwhile putting the excess funds, instead of back in the rainy day fund, putting it into education. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Larson.
There's an old saying in the House, goes something like this, whoa. And that's more like. And I'd like the body to consider this. So we've talked about over and over in the 2 days that we've talked about third reading amendments, and then in the second read amendments, about how we're going to use the LISRA to backfill all of these different projects that we wanted to put money back into. The LISRA was always there to save the day. And now, Now we want to divert any funds from going into the LISRA to take care of this substantial list of projects. But do you, and I'm sure that you do, realize that this is just one-time money. And so if you look at the priority list, you look at comprehensive waivers, which I've been fighting for every since I've been in the legislature, this $2.3 million would just be a one-time appropriation, one-time diversion. It wouldn't be moving forward. Everything on there, water development down to the vocational rehabilitation, that would just be one-time money diverted from going into the LISRA. And so as we try to gain, as we try to navigate our way going forward at a new level of appropriations for the state of Wyoming, I hear consistently in this body to live within our means, to make these cuts, and to live within our means. But yet we're going to divert money away from the LISRA to do this one-time funding for a variety of projects, that, and some pretty significant. And then that takes any ability when we come back that year, because we've already committed those funds, and we don't have the ability then to take that one-time fund and use them. Well, I guess we could probably through amending the bill, but it's been very fortunate and very foresightful of those legislators that set up the LISRA account, because we have flexibility on how we use it. We're committing these funds and diverting them for that one-time use. I'd really strongly encourage you to vote this amendment down.
Any other members for the first time? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, it's a one-time request. It's a one-time expenditure. This is what we do. We take it year by year. Those of us that are advocating for the comprehensive waivers for the developmentally disabled, for the supports waivers, we do this every year. We're used to it. And I am on and in favor of this amendment. Notice that priority number one is indeed the comprehensive waiver. This $2.3 million is precisely what was cut from what we budgeted exactly 1 year ago. All this does is restore it for the rest of this fiscal year. And if it's a one-time deal, we'll be back here next year fighting for the following 2 years appropriations for this important program. I urge your aye vote and budget amendment number 48.
Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of this amendment. And what I'd like to do is kind of go back to the description of what's being done and why it's being done before talking about any of the kinds of specifics of the projects. So, friends, know that we've gone through this budget without talking about the expectation, the very real expectation of $83 million being deposited into the general fund and then the LISRA on June 30th. And if you remember, the chief executive's opening comments included, please don't get through this session cutting $250 million last year and then additional money this year and have money go into savings. And that's exactly what will happen unless we pass this amendment. So with passing this amendment, what we're doing is saying we're not just going to fill up the LISRA. We're going to take care of some important issues in the state that are listed there as the priorities, and then we're going to address our education deficit. And we're going to take the remainder of that money, which is $74 million, and we are going to put it into the School Foundation Program account where it is desperately needed. I want folks to know that we have done this in the past, and in fact, kind of all of the capital construction projects that you have been seeing have been done through a mechanism similar to this, only was done out over years. This will be the first June 30th where we haven't expended those funds. And so I'm in favor of this amendment. It is a smart way for us to be, for us to do what needs to be done in the state and go home and tell our constituents that we have maintained needed services and we have put the savings where we need it, which is in education. So I'm in favor of this amendment.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on and against this amendment, and the reason is that we have been going through this session with the Joint Appropriations Committee, and we've had the cuts that they put in place, and we've had the hard votes on this floor. And if we vote this amendment in, we're negating everything that's been done. Every one of us sees a item on this list that we favor, but we can't favor all of them. If we do, then we are running the risk of running our state's budget into the hole. Therefore, I'm against this amendment. I think that if we consider the fact that $199 million is available to us from the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, if we put that into the general fund, that shows us how much money we've got available. And therefore, I think we need to do that first before we do any kind of expenditures of this level. Therefore, I'm against this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a caution to the body, and I want you to think about this. At the bottom of page one, you have a list of priorities, 1 through 10, and that's the order in which these will be funded. And I'll ask each one of you, is this the order you want to fund things? Really, it's the order in which the sponsors of the amendment want to fund them. So what you have is comprehensive waivers first over water development, but water development's over suicide prevention. So do you value water development first or suicide prevention first? You don't have an opportunity to amend this like you would in a CapCon bill. You have to take what's offered to you. The other one is, if public schools are so important, why isn't that one first? So my point is you're voting on someone else's list of their priorities, and I ask you, are they your priorities? And if not, I'd say vote against this, because I'll bring up a term that some of the more experienced people may remember is tranche. That's what this is, and you remember the wonderful problems that caused. So with that, on and against the amendment.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The previous speaker just stole a little bit of my thunder, but when I first looked at this amendment, I looked at it very carefully, and I don't know if anybody here has ever had a reoccurring nightmare. But, you know, something just absolutely messes with your mind. You wake up the next morning, you think, boy, I hope I never do that again. And then you're afraid to close your eyes. And then, sure enough, it comes back at some point. And it's the word, for those of you who don't know what that word is tranche. It became kind of the byword of our legislature 2 years ago. It was used over, and I didn't even know what it was. I'd never heard it before. And then I found out it's actually a word from the place where they sell lots of fancy cheeses over in the continent on the other side of the Atlantic. The Hudson. Yeah. So anyway, it's a word over there that simply means trench. And I'm telling you, it really came to me to typify what a trench, someone has described a trench as. Basically, it's a grave with the ends knocked out of it. Because that's how it felt for us 2 years ago. And here we are, doing the same thing, a tranche. And I'm just, you know, some of these are worthy programs. But the challenge we have with these worthy programs set before us in this way is that now we're going through a whole system of appropriation that probably doesn't belong in this fashion. Thank you.
Representative Wilson, I had you next. Representative Wilson. I didn't know if, okay, waving off your... Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of this amendment. So we kind of have
a little bit of doomsday popping up. But people say, well, how are we going to fund this? And what's the order of the appropriation? Look at the first nine. Those are going to get funded no matter what. That's a red herring. I mean, that's going to get funded no matter what. So then you got your last one, your public school foundation program account. That's one that is going to, if any receives less, that one's going to receive less. And it accounts for that in the amendment. And then secondly, we talk about how bad, I heard appropriations member talk about how bad the tranche system was. That was from appropriations. So on in favor of the amendment.
Representative Clausen.
On and against the amendment. I think this just goes around the process.
Members always try to remember, and I know earlier today I didn't address the chair, and so I apologize. So we always talk through the chair so we don't talk to each other, and it's not a personal thing. And I corrected myself. I made that mistake earlier today. And now we're on to Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So from 2 years ago, there were three tranches. So with only having one tranche, I think I like this one three times as much. And I think the tranches are a lot deeper in this one, a lot more shallow in this one, too. So another reason to like it. Ladies and gentlemen, when we were talking about cash earlier, and I think 24 people stood up to say something, we value cash. This is cash. This is cash. We're not doing this unless the cash is in our hands. That's pretty valuable. I urge you to vote aye. Thank you.
Representative Clem, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I wanted to get up here and say tranche 2, so not really. You know, the interesting thing about it, I'm not kind of torn on what to do here. Because this is, you know, back home, and it strikes true to my philosophy is, you know, if you're poor, you tend not to save money. When you get poor, you don't save money, and you spend what you got. It's foolish to keep on saving and saving if you don't have anything to eat. And here all we're doing is we're diverting from funds from the LSRA. We're saying we're not going to put in the savings, we're going to fund. And so part of this really kind of strikes to my heart a little bit. I'm kind of torn on what to do. I really do enjoy the debate here, and who knows, I might end up voting for this thing. But this could be a real interesting thing here. I appreciate the bringer for bringing it. Thank you.
Representative Gray, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. You know, I came into the legislative session thinking that we could get some savings of the general fund to help us fund the school foundation program account. It quickly became clear that we weren't going to be able to do that, which I'm disappointed by. But if this amendment passes, we're going to end up doing the opposite. We're going to use the school foundation program dollars to fund the general fund, to fund efficiencies that JC, the JAC, identified that we passed, and now we want to reverse. This amendment is really problematic. Please vote no.
Representative Wilson, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I decided to come up and speak after all, and really just to reiterate slightly differently what the immediately previous speaker said. We spent a long time last week saying that a lot of people didn't want to have a tax. They would prefer to spend out of the LISRA as long as possible on schools. Well, the less money you put into the LISRA, the faster you'll spend the LISRA, and the sooner you'll get to the tax. So I think this is a bad amendment.
Representative Walters, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I, too, am against this amendment. I point out that we are spending one-time potential money. This is unrealized at this point, so we're hopeful that this money would come in. And we'd be spending that on items that have already been cut or reduced in a very judicious manner, and so it's just not very wise. I'd also point out that for this biennium, we're spending somewhere in the neighborhood of 15% of our LSRA already. So if a little teeny bit trickles back in there, that may not be such a bad thing, because we are spending such a significant amount out of it at this time. So again, against this amendment, I'd hope you'd vote no.
Mr. Speaker, Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I think when you talk about tranches, I don't want to get down into that deal. I think really everything we do is really profiled revenues. So we hope this $83 million comes in. We hope the president bump continues and doesn't turn into a dump, right? It's good for Wyoming. We hope the market continues to grow and our significant investments grow. But let's just think about how in this budget what we've got set up. So we spent, it was, I think, $221 million out of the LSRA last year. And so that's about a 6%, a little over a 6% per year burn rate. And then we count on refueling to say, well, if we get this $83 million back, that brings it down to about a 4% burn rate. And we say, well, if we keep this 6 or 4% burn rate, we know that school foundation is going to be a part of this moving forward in the coming years. It'll probably grow to even 10% or more, the burn rate, even with refueling. So you get into this, how long can we keep this going? 8 years, 7 years, you try to do that. So, but what we've done in the supplemental budget now is we've appropriated, I think, $93 million because we've got $25 in the large project fund. We've got three out of other issues, and then we passed $15 and two backstops today, and then we appropriated $50 in the statutory reserve account. And so then that brings – so we've appropriated $93 million in House Bill 1 already. And now if we appropriate another $83 million, that takes that – burn rate up. There is no refueling, and we appropriate. And I don't think it's inappropriate to say, hey, if this happens, we're going to probably continue to do that in the SIPA. I mean, that's how you. But I just think we want to think about whether this fills in the backside or we take it out before it ever gets there. And I guess there was a time when we've done that where we intercepted it before it actually went into savings. But I think we're in a different time now where we let that fill up. And then we appropriate, and we say exactly what we're going to appropriate for. And if we pull it out of Lystra, we pull it out of Lystra, and we take the vote on it. And but I would push back on those who say this is somehow an inappropriate maneuver, or I don't think that is at all. I mean, that's what we do is appropriate profiled, or, you know, hopefully revenue that does come in. And so contingent revenues, our whole budget's contingent. We had that debate about cash budgeting for half the budget couple hours ago. So I'm going to vote against just because of the drawdown now starts to look at about 8%. So on and against.
Representative Pelkey, for your first time.
Thank you. I'm not going to talk at length. I'm in favor of the bill and would call for the yeas and nays.
Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Second time. Representative Winters.
Thank you. I'm going to be brief. I just want to remind you of the word tranche.
Or any other member for the sponsor? Chairman's monitor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't mind the word tranche. I had to say it about 10,000 times the last 5 years. And I would remind the body, we have tranched all the funds in the SIPA this year and next year. And your legislature last year did that on this body, so you don't get a say in the SIPA funds until 2019 because we've tranched those. All I'm asking in this amendment, and I think it's very appropriate and very timely, is to do the same thing that we do in the SIPA on the LSRA, because I don't understand why, and I guess we can call it refueling, but I like to call it we're putting money into savings that we could otherwise be utilizing. And I don't know how to go back to my constituents and say, hey, I cut $275 million roughly of the budget, and people lost their jobs, and we're cutting education. But don't worry, we put $80 million back into our rainy day fund. I just don't think that flies at home. So, you know, the arguments on whether or not this is one-time funding for projects, if it goes back into the LSRA, who knows what it'll get used for, but I would argue not one-time projects.
the reason I'm bringing it, you know, we had a pretty massive shock to the system, and we all know it in here. I mean, it was a massive shock to everybody's system, everybody's budget across the state government. And so I'm not trying to do anything nefarious. I think it was testified earlier that, you know, the first 9 million, the first 9 projects on here, it doesn't matter to me. I don't have any, like, secret reason they were in that order. I kind of just kind of threw them together and removed some stuff around. So it's not even my partial list because I know that the first 9 projects are getting funded because all, I shouldn't say I know for sure, it's if we have revenues, but all estimates, at least from last month, point that we're going to have money in this account, and all the rest of the money goes into the public school foundation program. And that's still, arguably a savings account. It's still money that we have for next year that we can appropriate. So instead of putting in the rainy day, I'm putting it towards the public schools. So when we all go back to our constituents and our districts, we can say, hey, maybe we didn't solve the education problem this year, but we're working on it, and we're throwing funds to help us out for the near future, and it's another tool in the toolbox. So, I was really just trying to be beneficial to the body and help everybody out by saying, we do need some more money for comprehensive waivers. We do need some more money for water projects for our cities and towns. I mean, you heard all these needs, and I testified earlier, I'm not trying to give the full amounts back because I do appreciate the work appropriations did. And they're going to have to keep doing this work next February. All I'm trying to do is cushion the fall and give some money to education. So I would ask for your favorable consideration, and I think it's worthwhile to have this position and to, appropriate the LSRA savings as the chief executive has asked us to do in this body, and nothing else came forward until third reading. So I would have brought it earlier, but I kept kind of waiting for someone to do something with these funds, and no one has. So here's your chance to stop the money from going back into rainy day fund and using it for education. And I would ask for your favorable vote.
Thank you. The ayes and noes have been called for and seconded, so the chief clerk will call the roll on third reading amendment number 48.
Allen.
No.
No. Baker.
No.
No. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman.
No.
No. Blackburn.
No.
No. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
No.
No. Bird.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen.
No.
No. Clem.
Aye.
Connolly. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
No.
No. Crank.
No.
No. Dayton.
Aye.
Aye. Edwards.
No.
No. Eklund.
No.
No. Ayer.
No.
No. Flettner.
No.
No. Freeman.
Aye.
Aye. Furphy.
No.
No. Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
Easy.
Greer.
No.
No. No. Haley.
No.
No. Hallinan.
No.
No. Halverson.
Aye.
Aye. Henderson.
Aye.
Aye. Hunt.
Aye.
Aye. Jennings.
No.
No. Kinner.
Aye.
Aye. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Aye. Lone.
No.
No. Laux.
No.
No. McGuire.
No.
No. Madden.
No.
No. McKim.
Aye.
Aye. Miller.
No.
No. Nicholas.
No.
No. Northrup.
No.
No. Obermuller.
No.
No. Pat Olson.
No.
No. Paxton.
No.
No. Pelkey.
Aye.
Aye. Pieperinen.
No.
Pannell. Pardon? Pannell?
Aye.
Salazar.
No.
No. Schwartz.
No.
No. Summers.
Nope.
No. Steinmetz.
No.
Sweeney.
Aye.
Aye. Walters.
No.
No. Wilson.
No. No.
Winters.
No.
No. Zawanitzer.
Aye.
Aye. Mr. Speaker. No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Kirkbride, aye to no. Clem, aye to no. Lindholm, aye to no. Further change, Freeman, aye to no. Pannell, aye to no. Sweeney, aye to no. Hunt, aye to no. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 14 aye, 46 no.
Having failed to receive a majority vote of the members present, third reading amendment number 48 has failed. We'll now move to roll call vote on House Bill 1. And while we're doing that, before we take that roll call vote, Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and the good body. I just want to, if you'd all stand up, stretch a little bit, and give a round of applause to this committee to help me out. Great folks. Thank you for getting this done. Appreciate all your work, all your time. Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Committee number two, we really appreciate your work. And as you know, as we know, all the work done in the legislature really begins in our committee work. And so we're really appreciative. And, you know, I think, Mr. Chairman Nicholas, I'd like to add to your thank you really to our staff here in front and then also our staff back behind us that's working like crazy. So thank you very much. Chairman Nicholas.
So one other thing. On the hardest part when you're sitting on that side and you're not on on the conference committee is what the heck goes on and how it happens. And you're just wondering, well, are you going to fight for us? How are you going to do? And there's usually a compromise someplace in the middle, and it's no fun. It's no fun having you go fight battles. Now we got to fight one more battle. But I'm telling you, we'll try to keep you updated, and we will fight tooth and nail to get every darn thing that we got. Frankly, we've just got a great budget, and so we're going to keep working on it. But bear with us as we go through this process, and it's aggravating when you guys are sitting on the floor and you see us going back and forth, because this is going to be a very interesting committee conference, and we could be in committee when this whole place is adjourned the way it's going right now. We'll just have to see. So thanks.
And members, I would say, so tomorrow, Chairman Nicholas, I think the plan then sometime either late morning or afternoon, we'll have your committee explain Senate File 1, the Senate's actions to the mirror bill. And our bill will be completed. Our staff has assured us most of it's written. We just have these few amendments, and that will be written and delivered to the Senate probably tomorrow mid-morning. And I'm assuming they will discuss House changes to the mirror bill. And so our rules allow for us also to take a straw poll on the Senate's positions. Some years we've done that, some years we haven't. And we might look at some of those positions and as the chairman and the members of the committee explain the Senate actions, just kind of get your temperature as the whole House of Representatives where you feel on some of those Senate items. And we've done that, right, of course, right here on the floor. And you can read in our joint rules. We allow for that. So, and it gives a little direction, I think, to our committee. So we'll see how our time is going. Some years we've done it, some we haven't, but we'll move from there. And another reminder, just quickly, we have 7 members on our Appropriations Committee, but when we go to the Conference Committee, there'll only be 5 members. So it'll be 5 and 5. So I think that's all the news I have. So with that, Chief Clerk, please call the roll on House Bill 1.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
No. Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Guru.
Aye.
Gray.
No.
No. Greer.
Aye.
Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings. No. Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan. Aye. Lindholm.
Aye.
Aye. Lone.
No.
Laux.
Aye.
Aye. McGuire.
Aye.
Aye. Madden. No. McKim.
No.
No. Miller.
Aye.
Aye. Nicholas.
Aye.
Aye. Northrup.
Aye.
Aye. Obermueller.
Aye.
Aye. Olson.
Aye.
Aye. Paxton.
Aye.
Aye. Pelkey.
No.
No. Pieperinen.
No.
No. Pawnell.
Aye.
Aye. Salazar. No. Schwartz.
Aye.
Aye. Summers.
Aye.
Aye. Steinmetz.
Aye.
Aye. Sweeney.
Aye.
Aye. Walters.
Aye.
Aye. Wilson.
Aye.
Aye. Winters.
Aye.
Aye. Zawanitzer.
No.
No. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Aye. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 46 aye, 14 no.
We have other business. We have committee reports. We have all kinds of things with signing of enrolled acts, but we're going to save all that till tomorrow. So with that, Mr. Majority Floor Leader, and then Committee Chairman, if you have announcements, get ready. Here we go. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, you'll have a new list in your box, in your email tonight and on your desk in the morning, but the first three bills tomorrow on general file are Senate File 36, 37, and 53. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10 a.m. Tuesday, February 14th, 2017.
Chairman Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number one, Judiciary, meets tomorrow morning at 8 in room H38 to consider two bills, Senate File 32 engrossed, Peace Officer Recordings, and Senate File 113 engrossed, Felony Fleeing or Eluding Police.
Chairman Zawanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Committee number seven, Corporations, will meet tomorrow upon noon recess to hear the following four bills, Senate File 14 and Operative Liquor Licenses, Senate File 155, Bar and Grill Liquor Licenses, Senate File 92, Local Governments, and Senate File 138, Certified Public Accountants.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Joint Appropriations Committee will meet at 8:30 tomorrow morning to hear Senate Files 105, 132, and 51, and then at noon recess, we'll meet in House 36 to review the Senate amendments and Senate File 1.
Vice Chairman Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number five, Agriculture, will meet tomorrow at 8 a.m. in H36 to discuss Senate File 118, Food Freedom Act, sales locations, Senate File 91, engrossed small water projects, and Senate File 122, engrossed water development amendments.
Okay, members, and I think I failed to announce the results of the vote. Having received the affirmative vote, the members elected to the House, House Bill 1 has passed the House. There we go. We don't want to adjourn without that. And members, you've all heard the majority floor leader's motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. The House is adjourned until Tuesday, February 14th, 2017 at 10 a.m.